It's your favorite Theo Al Cintron on the Fan. Absolute Cintron, the overnight number to join the show, 888-808-1019. What a day it's been! I'll address the Dusty Baker stuff later. Yankees smack up Jacob DeGrom. Evan was on hand with his son, wearing his DeGrom jersey. Knicks snowed out. Mets snowed out. But of course, it's the eve, the morning, I should say, of game two between Knicks, Sixers, those crying asses, the 76ers, who did more talk off the court than on the court. And I cannot wait for later on tonight, 7 p.m., Knicks Sixers, Madison Square Garden. I will try to be in the building. Because the game one crowd was awesome. I talked about it, how it was at Knicks Hawks game five. The crowd sucked for a 2-2 game. Well, the game one crowd versus Philadelphia was awesome. And I expect after all the talking that Philadelphia's done off the court, because they sucked on the court. They were terrible on the court. Minus all over the place. Got their asses handed to them by 39 points. Should have been 60. The crowd is going to be even better. And should be even better. And more intense. More intense than it was game one. And game one was rocking. The Garden was rocking. It's what I begged for in game five versus the Hawks from the fans. Show up. Make some noise. And instead, it was the corporate crowd, which I hate. I hate that just as much as a Sunday afternoon playoff game at home. The Knicks have a game four Sunday afternoon game, but it's on the road. But the Philadelphia 76ers have done nothing but talk. Talk post-game, talk the following day, talk. Bitching and moaning about flopping Jalen Brunson. Meanwhile, they had the biggest flopper, literally the biggest flopper in NBA history, in Joel Embiid. A human operation. If you played the game, you know, you go for the ball, you go for the, that operation. Joel Embiid. A walking, what's the word, hypochondriac. Had the nerve to call Mikal Bridges play, who's anything far from being some tough guy, dirty player. In fact, we knock him for not being more aggressive and going into contact. Saying that pretty much it was intentional, a dirty play by Bridges. Well, if it wasn't, bravo Bridges. Bravo. Because if there's ever somebody who's going to get away with a play like that, it's somebody who doesn't have a reputation for being a dirty player. And remember this. Joel Embiid has hurt numerous players in the NBA, including Bridges' teammate right now. They weren't teammates then, but they're teammates now in Mitchell Robinson. And his boy, Josh Hart. So for Joel Embiid to be crying, bitching, and moaning about stuff, I didn't get to the free throw line enough. You shot 9 free throws, homie. 8 of your 14 points were from the free throw line. You had 6 free throws in the first quarter compared to Jalen Brunson's 1. You know what Jalen Brunson did that you didn't do? He showed up and showed out. Not at the free throw line. He did it when the plays were actually happening. Not when play was stopped. He delivered for his team. He's owned your asses. He's bought land in Philadelphia. He owns the Sixers. His points per game average is 10 more versus Philadelphia. That's owning somebody's ass. And Jalen Brunson owns the Philadelphia 76ers. He's the CEO, the COO, whatever, the owner. He's all of that of the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid, the same guy who's hurt so many players in the NBA, has the nerve to call somebody else dirty. The nerve. to call somebody else dirty. Joel Embiid might be the most disliked player in the NBA. Joel Embiid might be, yes, a talented player, one of the most skilled big men of all time to ever grace the floor in the NBA. Might be the most disliked big man in NBA history, even by his own fan base. You don't believe me? Look up the comments about him. Philadelphia, and I hate their fans, does not like players to be crying, bitching, and moaning, acting soft. Joel Embiid is that. He's that. And I heard Tiki's pretty much call him a bitch. Well, I second that, Tiki. Joel Embiid's a bitch. I second that, Tiki Barber. I agree with you. Joel Embiid has some nerve calling other players dirty. And I cannot wait for game two later on at Madison Square Garden. I cannot wait for MSG to be rocking. I cannot wait. Fingers crossed that I'm in the building for game two. And if not, I'll just be chilling somewhere watching the game with other Knicks fans. Because it feels good for the first time in a long time, in my lifetime, and I saw the Ewing Knicks where every year we're in the playoffs, and I was young and I took it for granted. I thought it was going to be all the time that the Knicks were going to be in the playoffs and be title contenders. I took that era for granted. I took Patrick Ewing as a Knick for granted. Much like a lot of you Knicks fans now take Jalen Brunson for granted. Forgetting the atrocious starting lineups that used to be trotted out on the floor at Madison Square Garden for those ridiculous prices to watch a crap product. A team that had no chance. Forget winning a championship. No chance. Being in a playoff spot. And now it feels good. It feels better than good to have this Knicks team be legit NBA championship contenders. Ask me that 10 years ago. I would have laughed in your face. Who laughed in your face? The Knicks were so bad during those times that I'd watch the game. And I'm being honest. I always keep it a buck, whether I look good or look bad. Whether I'm right or wrong, I'll always keep it a buck. And I think that's the thing a lot of you guys and gals enjoy about me. I don't run from it. I don't stick my chest out when I'm right. And then when I'm wrong, hide. Tuck my tail between my legs. That's not me. Never been me. I am so proud to be a Knicks fan again. Those days or those bad teams, I'd watch a little of the game and they'd be down by 20. I was unwatchable. I shut it off. Shut it off. I go watch something else. I go watch a rerun episode of The Wire. I go watch a rerun of Seinfeld. I go watch a rerun of Everybody Loves Raymond. Two and a Half Men. Just not the Knicks. Because they were bad. I'd watch and say, okay, let's see what happens. Let's watch my team. First quarter. Milwaukee Bucks 90, Knicks 3. Yeah, I'm done. Not watching this. Why am I going to invest 2.5 hours of my time when I could be playing whatever PS number was out at the time, 2, 3, 4, whatever it was at that moment in time. I'd rather be playing PlayStation. I'd rather be swiping left and swiping right for a date. Why am I going to watch this? This team stinks. Same thing happened with me and the Mets. Love my team. Why am I going to invest my time watching a crap product when the owners didn't invest in putting out a quality product? I'd watch the beginning, no doubt, because I'm a fan. And then it was a blowout. I tune it out. So my advice to a lot of you Knicks fans, and I'm older than a lot of you guys because the young ones that are out there at Madison Square Garden going crazy, having fun, turned their backs on Jalen Brunson the minute he had a bad playoff game or two when he was having a bad series versus the Hawks. You did it. You did what I did with Patrick Ewing. I took it for granted. So I'm telling you, don't do the same thing. Trust your favorite deal. Don't do the same thing. You'll regret it later. Because there'll be a stretch where the Knicks are bad. And you're like, man, I wish Jalen Brunson had... Remember those times the way people my age, my generation say, man, I miss those Knick days. Because every game meant something. You knew they were going to make the playoffs. And you knew they were going to be championship contenders every year. But I took it for granted. And now we have Jalen Brunson. 6 foot whatever. Plays like he's 7 foot. Heart of a lion. Heart of a champion. Literally a champion in college, back to back, right? College champion. A leader. A guy, a second round pick. A guy nobody gave any chance to making anything of himself being a superstar in the NBA. Just a role player. When his opportunity came, when Luka was hurt, he stepped up, he showed up, and he showed out. That's what he did. And then the Knicks brought him in. People knocked it. And he's played above and beyond his contract. Even took a pay cut because he loves being a Knick and wants to win a championship. It's not about the money to him. Although the next contract sure as hell will be. And I don't blame him. Go get your money, Jalen. But right now, the most important thing to him is winning an NBA championship. And he left the Knicks flexibility to build a championship contender around him. And not be all about the money. Now, whatever money you guys nothing to sneeze at, I'll take one quarter or one game of that money. Forget a year. Give me one game check, Jalen. But the New York Knicks have a big game later on tonight. They could really put their foots on the Sixers' throats, on their throats, going back to Philly for Friday night, which could be a zoo and bad news for the Sixers. Because if the Knicks go to Philly up 2-0, and the Knicks take a big lead early in that game in Philadelphia, boy, will those fans turn on the Sixers. They will turn on them. Big time. And the Knicks fans who are going down there, and I've seen it just like a couple years ago, bus trips are happening. Timberland boots and hard hats, those trips are happening. Buses are loaded up with Knicks fans who have tickets. You tried, Philly. You're not keeping us out. To go down there to Philadelphia, MSG South, because that's what it is, Embiid, not East. Get a compass. They're invading games 3 and game 4. And if the Knicks win game 2 later on tonight, we might not see a game 5. This might be a broom sweepage. Or the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I know some Knicks fans are going to say, oh, you're jinxing it or whatever. I have no control of what happens on the court. I'm not playing. I wish I was. I would love to be running the point guard for the New York Knicks again. Playing point guard for the Knicks. I would love that. Not again, but I would love that. Dream come true. But the Knicks have a huge opportunity later on tonight at MSG to protect home court and then put the biggest amount of pressure probably Joel Embiid's ever faced in his career. And yes, he played a game 7 versus the Boston Celtics. But to go down 0-2 back home when you begged your Trailer Park Trash fans. You begged them. Don't sell your tickets. I'll give you money. You begged them. Things can get real interesting down 0-2 feeling the most pressure you've ever felt to win a single game on your home floor. After you begged your fans not to sell their tickets. Because if you get smashed out later on tonight at Madison Square Garden, I guarantee you, those Sixers fans that you beg not to sell their tickets will be on every secondary market selling those tickets. They will give up on you the same way they gave up on you guys down 3-1 to Boston. And don't say you didn't, Philly, because you did. You gave up. I cannot wait for later on. Do I expect a beatdown like game 1? No. But I expect a double-digit win for the New York Knicks. Game 2. And then an atmosphere Friday in Philly is going to be tremendous.